while you're getting settled, Psalm 119, thank you, brother, and verse 59, Psalm 119, 59. I'll read the verse, and we'll open with prayer, and we'll jump right in. So Psalm 119, 59, it says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. So I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Our Father, we come before you now. We just praise you for another day of life. We just thank you for your goodness and your mercy in our lives. And we're just thankful that we can get away from the world and come and hear the wisdom of Christ from the Word. And I just pray that we'll grow in these things. And we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. So I'm thankful for the opportunity Pastor's given me. The syllabus, essentially, was what it is. This will be a reference. We're not going through all of this today. Fear not. And so, essentially, we'll be looking at a biblical framework of man's heart, mind, and behaviors. And the goal of this short Sunday school series is really to have an active way of self-reflecting, an active way of considering who's the master of my heart. What's my heart desiring? What thoughts and beliefs am I believing on a day-to-day basis? And how are my actions? What type of behavior do I have? And so where we are conscientiously assessing the minutiae of the inner man, or also known as the spirit-filled life. And so this is a biblical framework to grapple with our own hearts. And so it's meant to be extremely practical, and it's going to be steeped in Scripture. I'm infographs, pictures, process, that helps me. So that's what I make these for my work, so I make them for church, Sunday school, so on and so forth. But on page one of that syllabus, we'll unpack that a little bit this morning, and then over the next few weeks, we'll unpack, we'll look at the Lordship, we'll look at that today. We'll look at our hearts the next time we meet, our thoughts, our beliefs, and our actions. And so we'll go through that. So if you, as well, I have a rough syllabus there. I have approximately 8 weeks, and so you can see kind of what's leading up. And then a lot of those other infographs will look at in future weeks. Sound good? Amen. So if we look at on page one the syllabus or this framework, I tried in one, it's not comprehensive or exhaustive, but it tries to be thorough, but just looking at the realm of where we self-reflect our on our hearts and what do we use, and ultimately that's the Word of God. And so if you see down at the bottom, that bottom pillar, well, that's the preaching of the word in the local church. So you want your heart to be challenged. That takes place in the local church, first and foremost. In 2023, we live in a realm where there's so much access on the internet. Who needs a church if you have the internet, right? Well, the local church, the pillar and ground of truth, is where the word, wisdom cries out. The word is put forward, forth, as well as where the body of Christ, with the many different gifts, we are able to sharpen each other with the Word and have fellowship around the Word. And so we don't get that anywhere else. And so the local church is first and foremost. Then you have the Lord's Supper. Whenever we do that, that's a time to self-reflect, consider our own hearts. Church accountability, church discipline, the one-on-one, two-on-one, and then coming before the assembly. That's another way of accountability. As well, we have the Holy Spirit who convicts. That's the one aspect that we can't shake, right? He keeps us up at night. All throughout the day, he'll be working on us if there's something that we need to get right. And then friends that courageously sharpen. So sharpening is a challenging thing. To confront in love, truth and love, well, that's meant for the local church. And so often that's put out there in this universal church context. But being in an assembly in a context of grace where we build trust with another and I have your best interest in mind and I know you have my best interest in mind, so if you come sharpen me, I can appreciate the challenging blow that that might bring. And so we have all these different mechanisms for holding ourselves accountable. And why did the Lord build, and this is just some, there's probably many more, but the Lord, he's built this into his assembly because our hearts need to be challenged. Our hearts wander. Our hearts are naturally deceptive. And then we're out in the world for 6.5 days each week. And then we come and we're in this environment under the preaching of the Word of God. And so if you see, it's not necessarily a complete sequence, but ultimately, and what we're going to look at today is who or what is the master of your heart? Who do you bow to? So we'll dive into that today. Is it the Lord Jesus Christ or an idol or your own self-will? And so we'll look at that. We'll look at our heart desires in future weeks, our thoughts, our beliefs. Are our minds, are they steeped in sound doctrine from Scripture? Or how much carnal wisdom do we operate under? And then ultimately we'll look at our actions. Well, you say, well, my actions fit all the checkbox. I have my personal representative when I go to church. However, that's my actions at church. Do your actions at church match your actions in your private life? And so we'll look at these things. And the purpose is ultimately when the Word of God is taught, the Word of God, it's sharp. It's that double-edged sword Brother Bill talked about last week. It exposes our sins. And when we come to church, we want to have an active framework of, okay, Lord, expose me today. Expose me. However, exposure, we don't like exposure. So our natural man typically pushes off this exposure. So it's kind of like in the hospital, you know, I take hundreds of patients to diagnostic imaging. We're going to do an x-ray, a CT scan, an MRI, and it's really nothing for me to take them. It's going to look on the inside and expose the sinful mass or the lack thereof. However, if you've ever personally had to go have diagnostic imaging, it's a little bit scary. Uh-oh, okay, what's it going to show? What's it going to show? And that's what the Word of God is meant to do. And thankfully, we have a pastor who aims the Word of God at our hearts versus, you know, the people outside and gives us that pass. And so there is a little bit of fear and trepidation when we come into the assembly and when we get into the habit of truly self-reflecting before the mirror of God's Word. And so really, this framework, the Sunday school lesson, is to give us a practical piece that we can operate on a daily basis. Who's Lord of my heart? What's my heart desiring? Is my mind steeped in sound doctrine? And are my behaviors in line with the doctrine of Scripture that I supposedly uphold? And so now we're getting into the minutiae of, do I fear the Lord? Am I actually walking in the Spirit? And we're looking at a very thorough perspective. And so we want to expose, and once we expose our sin, we want to repent. And so if we look over at John 13, and so there's a place for this daily washing, this daily self-reflection. Just like David, he thought on his ways, and then he turned his feet according to Scripture. And that's the simple two-phrase sentence on what we need to do. But you look at Christ as he taught his local church, John 13, verse 9. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save or except to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. And so that's a loaded passage there, but In essence, he's saying, he that is washed, those are washed in salvation. They don't need to wash except washing their feet, doing that daily foot washing. And so in one sense, this framework, this next few weeks, you can implement it into your daily foot washing routine. Start your day off with this, end your day with this. Make sense? Everybody following? And so we want to expose sin. We shouldn't shirk when the Word of God pierces and exposes. Ultimately, as we want to grow in the mind of Christ, grow in the fear of the Lord, we want to begin coming to a place where I want the Word of God to expose my heart. I want a courageous friend to check my blind spot. Is there sin in my life, or are there behavioral pieces in my life that need to be in line with Scripture? And so this is essentially the path that we'd be going on. And so we need to repent, rest in forgiveness, and be in this constant putting on, putting off, walking in the Spirit mindset. And ultimately, we hope in the resurrection. So some things are a constant challenge. All right, so we'll talk about old man baggage. Say you got saved when you were 25. You got 25 years of old man baggage, right? And so some of these things, Galatians, if we look over there, what did Paul call them? Galatians chapter 2, or is it 4? 4:9. Galatians 4:9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? And so as we walk with the Lord, try to walk in the Spirit, our walk of sanctification, the beggarly elements, the old man, it's always going to be nagging at us. We're always going to have that fight. And so, really, this framework is something that we can practically try and use to be a tool to fight this on a daily basis as we seek to walk in the Spirit. So that's the premise of this Sunday School series. So this morning, I really want to focus on who or what is the master of your heart. And so if we turn over to Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, Philippians. Yeah, there's just one. Yeah. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And so Paul, as he's writing to Philippians, here in chapter 2, he's showing what the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh did for us. Being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and he made himself of no reputation. And ultimately, the Lord would exalt him. And in his exaltation, every knee shall bow. And so really, the point that we want to focus on here is Jesus Christ, the Lord of your heart. Do we live in light of the fact that he's Lord whether we make him Lord or not? And so is he the master, the one directing our steps each day? And so this is a question that we should revisit every single day. Who's the master of my heart? Am I bowing to the Lord Jesus Christ at the start of my day, in the middle, and at the end of my day? Or do we start, and then as the day goes on, we start to turn and submit to some of our own idols? And we'll talk about that today. And so these are things that as we grapple with our hearts, these are the questions we want to be asking. Otherwise, we can put these questions aside, put these truths aside, and we'll show up on Sundays, and certainly we'll be challenged, but let's be proactive in grappling with our own hearts in these areas. If we look at those in seminary class know this question, what is normal, right? And so if we look over at Psalm 33, Psalm 33, verse 8. So we were created in the image of God, and we are to then reflect our Creator, right? And so on a daily basis, are you reflecting your Creator? Are you bowing to your Creator? But what is normal? Psalm 33, 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. And so verse 9 says, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And so this is normal. Normal is standing in awe of our Creator. And so this is where you can really assess how much carnal doctrine do we have when we think, well, the best I can give the Lord is, you know, a few hours on Sunday. Well, scripturally, the standard is we need to be standing in awe of our Creator 7 days a week. This needs to be ingrained in our life. This is walking in the Spirit with that joyful heart, thankful heart, submissive heart to our Creator, to our Lord and Master. And so again, practical questions for us to grapple with our hearts. Let's take our walk with the Lord a little deeper. Let's take it a smidge more serious. After all, he created us and saved us and will judge us. And so this is normal. Normal is standing all of your Creator and fearing him on a daily basis. Obviously, we have other responsibilities to do. If we look over at Deuteronomy 6:5, we'll see this is a heart issue. Deuteronomy 6:5. So submitting to Christ as our Lord is a hard issue. Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And so again, a familiar verse, right? It's a familiar verse. However, we need to break through some of the familiarities with Scripture and have those truths moved from just being in our brain, oh, I know that verse, and have they actually penetrated our heart? Does it actually mean something to you where you are going to love the Lord by obeying his word today? And so submission to Christ, ultimately this is a heart issue. And so often it's in our head. I've heard this verse since I was in Sunday school, right? My parents talked about it. We talk about it at church, but it hasn't penetrated the heart. And so we really want to grapple with these things. And so I have a little graphic there on page 2. And so we have our hierarchy here in life. And so if you're a child, well, you need to submit and obey your parents. All the while, you need to be submitting and obeying Christ. Likewise, wives are submitting to their husband as they are ultimately submitting to Christ. Husbands, leaders of the family unit, are submitting themselves to the pastor of local church, all the while submitting to Christ. And ultimately, we have the pastor who's in the right hand. He's in that ultimate hot seat, and he has to submit to Christ as he leads an assembly. And so you see this framework. And so ask yourself, where are you on these things? And really, we want to move from the didactic to penetrating the heart. Am I submitting in my heart? Where am I on these aspects? And so if we look over at 1 Corinthians, and then we're going to pivot to really what's our problem when it comes to who masters our heart. But if we look at 1 Corinthians 6, let's see, actually, 2 Corinthians 5. Yep, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. So the issue of submitting to Christ in a practical sense, man, those are Sunday school answers. Yeah, I'll submit to Christ, right? Well, how does that operationally come out in your life? 5:15 says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." And so this is the practical issue in the Christian life. And we'll jump right to it. Our number one idol is our self-will. All right? And so Christ, he died for all, that they that which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. When we are born again, it's no longer about living for me, myself, and I, and what I want to do with my life. Now, the little asterisk here is, yes, we have responsibility to work as men, to work, to provide. It's not throwing those responsibilities out the window. So I think we all understand that. But within those responsibilities that we have, how do we live unto Christ? How do we submit to him? And so often we can get into this practical way where I have Christ and I have my idols too. And we try to carry them in both arms, right? And so you see this theme all throughout. The Lord Jesus Christ, he perfectly exemplified this. Not my will, but thy will be done. And so often, and we'll get there in a moment, but often when we talk about idols, we think about the materialistic things, right? Oh yeah, I'm not letting this materialistic thing get in the way of the Lord. But before there is our self-will. I want Jesus on my terms. I want the local church on my terms. And that's usually where you have the headbutting, is when people come into a local church that practices a biblical accountability. Well, that's where a rock meets a hard place. It's hard to have your self-will in an assembly that practices biblical accountability. And so let's look at this issue of self-will. Are you no longer living unto yourself, as Paul's saying? And so this is the standard. Christ died for our sins, right? We have eternal salvation. We will go to the judgment seat someday. And so thank you for my salvation. I'm going to live life how I want to live it. Now, Lord is sovereign, and he chastens those he loves, right? And so chastening certainly will always come. However, it goes to Proverbs, right? You can either be wise and listening, all right? So wisdom's crying out, and the wise person is going to, hey, this is wisdom. I'm going to listen, and I'm going to just obey, and I don't have to deal with the rod in this area. And so we need to be wise and proactive. Certainly, the Lord is gracious and merciful, and he always brings that rod to chasten us. But we want to be in the proactive realm of submitting to the Lord and his lordship. And so if you look down here at the bottom of page 2, we'll see instead of submitting to Christ, making him the master of our heart, typically our own self-will masters our lives, right? We'll do a 50-50 with the Lord. I'll give you Sundays, Lord. However, the rest of the week is mine. And so let's really start to look at these things. Let's get away from the Sunday school answers of, yeah, I know all the right things to say. No, does Christ truly penetrate your heart and navigate your life all throughout the week? So that's really the question here. If you look over at Ezekiel 14. So Ezekiel, he's dealing with the children of Israel, or the nation of Israel, as they're being judged. They're in the middle of judgment. And so Ezekiel is such a fascinating book because the nation of Israel is actively being judged, and they're still not getting the message. They're still not seeing that they are the issue. And so the first and second deportations to Babylon had already occurred. Babylon is actively taking over Israel. They are being chastened with the rod, and Ezekiel's still preaching these messages to them, and they're holding on to their tradition, they're holding on to the temple, and continuing in their sin. And so in Ezekiel 14, he deals with the idols of their heart. Verse 1 says, Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Verse 4, Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him with that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. And so, no pun intended, but the Lord is getting, and Ezekiel's getting to the heart of the matter here. And so really, Ezekiel 1 through 14 up to this point, and he would continue, he's dealing with their external sin. But here in chapter 14, the Lord says, no, the idols of their heart, this is their stumbling block. And he's, I'm going to take their idols, ultimately, so that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart. Lord wants the hearts. And so you could check off all the boxes, but if you are harboring the idols of self-will or so on and so forth in your heart and operationalizing those in your life throughout the week, well, that's what the Lord's coming after. And we see that here in Ezekiel. The Lord wants, we can look over at Exodus 20. Again, very familiar passage. But is there any room for anything else for your Creator and Savior in your heart? And we look at Exodus 20, verse 1. It says, And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. And so the Lord there in Ezekiel, he's attacking the idols of the heart, and he's going to meet Israel, as he does with us. Ultimately, he wants our hearts, and he doesn't want any other idol in the place. We need to put our Savior, the Lord God, at the front place of our hearts. So again, very familiar verses, right? However, how are you applying this in your life? How does this impact your heart and your daily walk? And that's really the question, is revisiting these things we know in our minds. However, have they penetrated the heart? And so the idols of the heart. Well, I would say the first idol, and I base this off Isaiah 14, and we can turn there now. Our first idol is the idol of self-will, which was exemplified by Lucifer. Isaiah 14, verse 12, says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend. You have his five I will statements into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And so this was the proud heart of Lucifer, and ultimately it's his five declarations of I will, I will, I will, I will. And so this is what we're getting at. We're looking back at 2 Corinthians 5:15. Paul, hey, Christ gave his life for you. You should stop living for yourselves. You have Lucifer, We can also see it in our own hearts. Well, we want to do what we want to do. It's my will be done, not thy will be done. Christ exemplified it. Not my will, but thy will. So Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at his life, the only thing that mattered in his life was doing the will of the Father. No doubt he had other responsibilities, but when anybody, whether it was Peter, his disciples, the Pharisees, tried to get in the way of Christ doing the will of the Father, get behind me, Satan, right? And so likewise, we see here that I would say the idol of self-will, that's our first idol that needs to be crucified each day. Now, our self-will then would lead to what I would say are secondary idols, idols of comfort and deliverance. So if you look up on page 2 on that graphic, I'm kind of going upwards. You have the idols of the heart. You have the self-will, making oneself Lord and master and God of your own life instead of Christ and his word. So which is it for you? Who's your master? Who's dictating your steps on a day-to-day basis? And again, this is within the responsibilities that the Lord gives us. And so, briefly, idolatry in the Old Testament was any god in place of Jehovah. Graven images influenced by the Gentile gods or demons. And in the Old Testament, the idols, they serve the purpose of deliverance, provision, protection, and comfort. And so when we talk about idolatry, well, we're running to something for deliverance, comfort, protection, provision. Well, what's the Lord thy God to us? Well, doesn't he provide those things? However, this is where we then bring faith versus sight. I run to the idols that I can see, and they're going to give me this, 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 this. They're going to make me happy. They're going to give me what my self-will wants immediately. Whereas when I run to Christ, it's in faith, it's in accordance to his word, and it requires me to die to self and serve him and serve others, serve unlovable others as well. And so we see this contrast. Idolatry in the New Testament is primarily tradition. Judaism, they turned into their primary idol, and money. And money, I'd say, you see that as a primary secondary idol all throughout Scripture. But what purpose do these idols serve? We talked about that. Food, drugs, alcohol, medication, social media, virtual reality, shopping, vacation, leisure, life. And so in one sense, some of these things are perfectly fine. Right? It's what are they serving for you? Is this what your heart is pursuing desperately after? Or is this a blessing that the Lord's given you to enjoy? And that's the subtlety that we need to really assess. All right? So if you're booking a vacation every month, is this a blessing the Lord's given you an opportunity? Or what are you desperately driving after? To provide comfort in your life. And so what are you running to and why are you running there? And so these are as we kick the tires of our heart, let's consider these questions. And so again, asking challenging questions about your own self, this is where we get into the wrestling match with our heart. Our heart is perfectly fine with hiding within compartments and compartments and compartments. And I'll show up on Sunday, and I hope Pastor doesn't hit me hard. However, the Word of God is that double-edged sword, and it's always going to cut. Amen. However, what do? We blame and justify, right? The Word of God is being preached. We blame and justify. Whereas Scripture gives plenty of truth on the fact that we need to grapple ourselves. And ultimately, the Lord, he brings that breaking where, no, no, no. Ryan, you need to start looking at your own heart, or that rod is coming again, right? And so let's proactively grapple. And so we see these idols. Now, if we turn over to Psalm 115, and we'll finish here. Ultimately, whatever we worship, we are going to resemble. So as image bearers, we're created in the image of God. We bear God's image. We need to resemble our Creator and Savior. We need to resemble Christ. We need to have the mind of Christ. Psalm 115, verse 4 through 8, it says, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in him. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And so verse 8, they that make them are like unto them. So those that make those idols, you're like them. And so is everyone that trusteth in them. So you're going to resemble what you trust. And so there's a spiritual element to that, and there's a practical element to that, right? And so, the football fanatic, comes dressed completely, dressed out in their Dallas Cowboy, gear. And so that's a soft example in one sense, all right? But you resemble what you worship. However, spiritually here, if you remember, these graven images, they had hands and ears and lips and eyes, but they couldn't actually hear. And so what he's indicating is you're going to be spiritually dead like your idols are. You worship this idol, you're no longer going to be able to hear the word of God. You're no longer going to be speak. You're no longer going to be able to see these spiritual aspects. So as we inundate ourselves and we pursue the heart or idols with our hearts, there is an impact on your spiritual ability to hear and receive wisdom. We start to harden that heart a little bit. And so you say, I don't have idols. I'm not an idolater. And we have this very archaic understanding of idolatry. However, as we pursue self-will selfishly every single day, today is about me, myself, and I, and anybody who doesn't give me what I want, well, they're going to have to face my wrath, my bad attitude, and we live like this. Then we show up on Wednesday and Sunday, and Christ is my Lord, right? And so we all can be guilty of that, right? However, how does that selfish self-will, that idol, how is that insidiously impacting us spiritually? To hearing the mind of Christ as it's preached on Wednesdays and Sundays. And so, ultimately, we will resemble what we worship. And in this first prong of this series, we've considered today, who or what is the Lord of your heart? And so, we know those basic fundamental truths that Christ is our Creator. He's our Savior. He died for us, so we need to no longer live for ourselves, right? Two thumbs up. However, has that penetrated the heart? Has that made an impact where you've changed your ways? You've thought on your ways and turned your feet unto thy testimonies, as we see in Psalm 119, 59. And so is Christ. How are you doing with your idols? They're there. One, you need to identify and expose and repent and be in this active warfare of engaging with the old man baggage that we all have. Good. The idols that they come up every day, do we try to ignore them? They're not there. Like the patient who doesn't want the x-ray, I don't want to know what's there. You can do that. Meanwhile, the cancer erodes at your body until one day you just die. Or you can expose it and intervene spiritually with the Word of God in the house of God and so on and so forth. And so we'll close with that. Our Father, we come now. We just thank you for this time. And thank you for the opportunity to look through these things the next couple weeks. And I just pray, Lord, that each of us will actively engage in looking into the mirror of your Word and looking at our own hearts and making changes. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.